Good afternoon. It is a beautiful Thursday. Some of you might actually be on the threshold of tailgating right now. It is going to be a great evening for tailgating before Thursday night football. The Saints in the Caesar Superdome tonight against Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. We do have some breaking news to talk about in this first hour, but in the second hour, we're going to dedicate that to talking about the Saints. And what kind of reception do you think Sean Payton's going to receive? Now, the opposing coaches and the opposing team come out in the dome before the Saints are introduced. And there are always boos. You know, you always boo the other team when they're coming. Boo! You know, you always boo the other team. Will the boos be louder because people are not happy with the way Sean Payton left the Saints? Now, Sean Payton brought us to a Super Bowl. Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they brought us to a Super Bowl. Sean Payton had a very successful career here, but there were a number of low moments, a number of back-to-back 7-9 seasons. Everything wasn't bright. We made it to the Super Bowl once, a number of playoff games and division playoffs. So, you know, Sean Payton did a really good job with the Saints. What bothered me was that it seemed like it was getting really tough to coach the Saints. The Saints had really reached a moment when it was going to be really, really difficult to turn the Saints into a winning team. And Sean Payton, still under contract, left the Saints. And he said he wasn't going to coach. Kind of got the impression that he needed to get away from football. He needed a break, and he wasn't going to coach. Well, we kind of knew he was going to coach again. He's still a young man and still has a lot to offer the NFL. So I think Sean Payton used that opportunity, still on a contract. I think he used the opportunity to simply get away from the Saints and move to a bigger market. Now, in some ways, you can't blame him for wanting to go to a bigger market. So it's just going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And look, you know, whatever happens, it's just going to be momentary. You know, it's not going to go on, you know, during the game or anything. It's just going to be, you know, when the team comes out. So we'll have to see what that is like in the dome tonight. Also, look, I know the Saints are 2-4, and they've lost a number of games in a row, and we've got injuries. Rashid Shaheed is out. Chris Olave is out. We may lose Rashid Shaheed for the season. Hopefully not, but he's going to have surgery on his knee. I've been through several knee surgeries from a torn ACL and a couple of knee replacement injuries. Not knee replacement injuries. I've had reconstruction surgery. I know what knee injuries are like, and I applaud the athletes that come back after these knee injuries. So I know that it can be serious, and they don't often know until they get in there. You know, until they slice the knee open, and they don't slice it open anymore because a lot of it is orthopedic, arthroscopic or something. You know the word. They go in with the scope. And they can't always tell until they get in there. But that would be a tremendous loss for the Saints because Rashid Shaheed has been a spark plug for the New Orleans Saints offense and also as a returner. So the Saints are in bad shape with injuries. But can they turn it around? And in the next hour, we'll talk more about this. There are some other good teams that are not doing so well. In fact, if the Saints beat the Broncos tonight, the Saints and the Broncos will have the same record, 3-4. So the Broncos are not doing that great. They're 3-3 right now. And I've got a list of teams and their records. And these are teams that have really great quarterbacks. These are teams that are expected to do well every year, and they're not doing well right now. The Saints are in a group of a lot of really good teams that are not doing well. The point is, it's not over. It's far from over. And as a fan, I want to be as optimistic as I can be in the dome tonight. And if you're going to be there, make noise. If you're going to be watching, listening on WWL, just be as positive as you can. So the leader of Hamas has been killed. This has been confirmed by Israel. We will talk about that this afternoon. Also, I wrote a blog. It's on our website, WWL.com. It's also posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and you can comment on it there. And if you haven't joined me on Facebook, I invite you to become part of the SOTA Facebook page. Comment on what we post, but also read some of the comments and comment on some of those comments, because I need some of you to comment on some of the comments that are made, because some of them are just from the people who live in the rabbit hole, the people who are just total MAGAites. They don't see anything else. They can't possibly be objective about anything. So I need you to comment on some of those comments. But it's titled, Are Democrats the Enemy Within? And we talked about this yesterday, but we'll talk just a little bit more about this in the first hour. It's getting a lot of attention. And Kamala Harris brought this up in her interview with Bret Baier on Fox News. Fox News interview yesterday, and Kamala Harris brought this up. So we'll talk just a little bit about that. Also, just a few interesting things going on with politics, and we will get into that. But we're going to really focus on the Saints, and it's just a beautiful afternoon. So, you know, let's try and have as much fun as we can. I want to remind you that Thursday on the River, this free concert series continues tonight. It's from 5 to 8. Tonight is Rhythm and Blues and Cajun Night. Now, it starts at 5 o'clock. So if you're in the downtown area and you're going to the Dome for the game tonight and you want a little time to kill, you want to look for something to do, go on the river, Thursday on the River. I hope you've got a jacket or sweater with you, because it's chilly. And when it's chilly and even a little breezy, when you're on the river, it's even chillier. So make sure you've got something to keep you warm. But 5 o'clock, it starts at 5 o'clock. Temperature should be really awesome. And then, you know, about, 6 o'clock, 6:30, you can start to walk over toward the Dome. All right. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. Go Saints all the way. Saints go all the way, baby. We're going to get a W tonight. I can tell it.
You
I can tell
good?
You right. Yeah, I feel real good. You Broncos know, suck. Saints rule. Let's go.
I feel good too.
Come on.
Hey, the Broncos are 3-3. You know, they're not so great. If we beat the Broncos, we have the same record as the Broncos.
I feel
so,
it in my bones.
Know, they don't come in here with any big bravado. Now, Sean Payton wants to win, but you know, Sean Payton wasn't always a winning coach with the Saints. And I do remember those years of 7-9. It's like, what's going on? And it just seemed like things just got to a point where Sean Payton wanted out. And he got out. And he took a break and jumped right back in and, you know, went to a bigger market, Denver. But Sean Payton has not had instant success in Denver. So, again, we'll see what happens tonight. Spencer Rattler starting at quarterback again, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing his second starting performance tonight. So, you know, look, it should be fun. I really hope that they call some plays where Spencer Rattler gets to run the ball. You know, treat him kind of like a Taysom Hill, or treat him like a running quarterback. The teams that have running quarterbacks, they've got plays where the quarterback runs. It's not just scrambling and then he runs and he makes yardage. No, they've got plays where the quarterback runs. So let's see if we see a little bit about that tonight in the Dome. Really, the big breaking news, and, you know, we don't know what the ramifications of this are going to be, but Israel has killed the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar. He is dead. Now, this leader of Hamas has been surrounding himself, apparently, with hostages. So it was going to be hard to kill him without killing some of the hostages. But apparently, they got him in a situation where the hostages were not around him. There was a firefight, and he was killed. His nickname is The Butcher. This is a bad SOB. He's evil. And guys like this should be dead. We don't need them. The world doesn't need people like this. I don't celebrate the death of many people, but I'm okay that this guy's freaking dead. Now, what's going to happen? Is Iran going to get involved? Now, we're waiting Right now, we're waiting for Israel to retaliate against Iran for the attack, the Iranian attack against Israel. So we're waiting for that. But with all of this going on, I don't believe that we're on the brink of World War III. And Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and others who are allies to Donald Trump are trying to scare us into thinking we're on the verge of World War III. We have been through things like this before. And things are tense and things are bad. And I don't think anybody should take it lightly. But I don't think we're on the brink of World War III. And of course, you know, time will tell. We don't know exactly what's going to happen here. All right, we'll take a break, and we're going to come right back with more. We're going to get the serious stuff out of the way in this first hour. And then in the next hour, we are just going to talk about the Saints leading into the Saints coverage, which begins at 3 o'clock with First Take with Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak. And at 5 o'clock, it's the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert inside the dome, the Loge Level Gate B, the atrium. Just go up there and find him. That's presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Game time with Deuce and Haas is at 7:15. Turn down the sound on your TV and turn up the home team. And then after the game, sound off with the Chirac Point After and the Cajun Cannon. Saints, Broncos, they're going to talk, well, until they get tired of talking. And Bobby Hebert, win or lose, Bobby Hebert has just very, very definitive things to say about the Saints. And he's right on with it. So it's 10 hours of wall-to-wall football coverage starting today at 3 o'clock, so we do have an abbreviated show. All right, I'm Scoot on the air, and we are coming back. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And by the way, Drew Brees is going to be inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame tonight, and I think he wants to lead everybody in the dome with his chant. This is the chant that Drew Brees gave to the team before every game, and he wants us to study this, and he wants to lead us in that cheer before the game tonight. Oh, well, not before the game, but at some point during the presentation, I guess. So we'll be right back with more. I'm Scoot. Beautiful Thursday afternoon. Thursday Night Football's in town. Saints Broncos tonight, and we'll be right back on WWL. It is a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Thursday Night Football in town. The eyes of the NFL world on New Orleans and the Caesar Superdome tonight. Saints and the Broncos. More on that coming up in the next hour. Breaking news. This happened just a little while ago. Israel is confirming that it killed the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar. Yahya, what is it?
Yahya.
It's what?
Yahya. Yahya.
Yah. You know, I don't have that. I don't have that Middle Eastern. I don't have that.
Yahya.
Haktua.
All right. Well, whatever gets you there, my friend.
So no, pronounce that for me one more time.
Yahya.
Yahya.
Yeah, it's not a hard K sound. It's like Yahya.
Yahya.
There you go.
Yahya.
Good enough.
All right, Yahya Sinwar. Anyway, the guy's dead. I mean, however you pronounce his name, he's dead. Israel says that it killed this Hamas leader during a military operation. It was a shootout in Gaza.
Israel says a military operation in Gaza has killed Hamas's top leader. Yahya Sinwar had long been Hamas's Gaza leader and took over the militant group over the summer after an apparent Israeli attack killed its previous leader. Sinwar was one of the chief architects of Hamas's attack on Israel nearly a year earlier.
Man's a terrorist. He has an awful lot of blood on his hands.
White House National Security spokesman John Kirby said some of it was American. Sinwar's death could be a heavy blow for the group, and it's also unclear what it might mean for efforts toward a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. Even before becoming the top leader, Sinwar was believed to have the final word on any hostage release deal. Sagar Magani, Washington.
All right, so who is this Hamas leader? Chatham House Associate Fellow Nomi Baryakov says that Yahya Sinwar, another way to pronounce his name, almost single-handedly planned and orchestrated the October 7th attack on Israel that killed just thousands of people.
He planned for Iran and for all of Iran's long arms, meaning the proxies, Hezbollah, and the militias that Iran funds and trains in Syria and in Iraq, to join the fight and try to eliminate the state of Israel.
Now, since this guy was such a hardliner, this may increase the possibility of a ceasefire agreement.
Israel's prime goal, declared goal, an actual goal, was to take out the leadership of Hamas and the military capabilities of Hamas. So 23 out of 24 battalions have been dismantled, and the vast majority of the senior commanders have been killed, assassinated.
You know, Sagar Magani, great guy. Love Mr. Magani's work. He's using just, I think, the standard English pronunciation. But when I looked at this a couple hours ago, I looked up the proper way to pronounce it in Arabic, and it's in Yahya.
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 Yahya. You know, I don't know that we should even worry about dignifying him with pronouncing his name properly.
No, certainly not.
You know, with Kamala Harris, when the right wants to call her and Trump wants to call her Kamala, I think that's an insult to her. I don't care if we insult this SOB. So we can just call him the SOB.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Yahya is funny. Yahya, because it reminds me, there was a character in The Sandlot, that baseball movie from the early 90s, that had a character named Yahya who started every sentence with, yeah, why didn't you do this? Or, yeah, I came over there to do that.
Yeah, I can start doing that on the show. Yeah.
Or from The Little Rascals. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, please continue.
How are you pronouncing the name? The guy's dead, and that's good news.
Hi, boy.
In a Fox News special report with Brett Baer, Vice President Kamala Harris says that Donald Trump, if elected, would use the military against the American people.
He didn't show that, and here's the bottom line. He has repeated it many times, and you and I both know that. And you and I both know that he has talked about turning the American military on the American people. He has talked about going after people who are engaged in peaceful protest. He has talked about locking people up because they disagree with him. This is a democracy.
Harris also says that she's been really hard on migrant crime, but she says Republicans haven't been so hard on migrant crime.
It is also true that if a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago, it would be 9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more support for the folks who are working around the clock trying to hold it all together.
Madam Vice President.
To ensure that no future harm would occur.
At a press conference, a former Republican congressman from Illinois, Adam Kinzinger, I think he's one of the good guys. He's a mainstream Republican. He says that people need to put the country first during this election.
This guy is the ultimate boat anchor around Republicans' necks, and we know it. This election, no doubt, is going to be close, and every vote's going to count, especially right here in Pennsylvania, and especially amongst the patriotic Republicans that are willing to put country over party.
Olivia Troy was on the National Security Official Group, and she was there during the Trump administration, and she says the country cannot have another Trump presidency.
I witnessed firsthand his disregard for the American people and his disregard to the rule of law. I had a front row seat to the damage Trump created in his first term. And I can confidently and without any hesitation say that he is too dangerous to get anywhere near the Oval Office again.
And Kamala Harris yesterday on Fox News, and by the way, here's what was interesting about Kamala Harris on Fox News. There are a lot of people who just watch Fox News, and they just tune in to conservative talk radio, and they just focus on conservative social media. So they live in a conservative echo chamber. They really don't know what's going on with Donald Trump, because Fox News is not clearly honest about it. They're not bringing up a lot of negative things. So Kamala Harris was telling the Fox audience, which is bigger than the other two networks combined, CNN and MSNBC combined, Kamala Harris was telling the audience things that they've never heard. And that's a phenomenon that happens on this show. You know, I get questioned for some of the things that I talk about because these people who live in this conservative echo chamber don't hear other things. They, even though these other things are the truth, they don't hear them. And so they go, well, wait a minute. I never heard that. Where did Scoot come up with that? I'm not making any of this stuff up. And Democrats are Marxist, communist, and fascist. They're sick. These are Donald Trump's words. And he said a smart president can handle them. He also, days before that, at a town hall on Fox News in Georgia, referred to Democrats as lunatics and a bigger threat to America than foreign adversaries. According to Donald Trump, Democrats, or people who disagree with him, are the enemy within. And Kamala Harris talked about this. And you don't hear a lot about that on Fox News. Throughout history, the phrase the enemy within has been used to describe physical threats to America, from the Revolutionary War in 1775 through the Cold War years to domestic terrorists today. But the use of the phrase to describe Democrats or anyone disagreeing with Donald Trump shrouds the 2024 campaign with a chilling imagery. The army led by George Washington fought and defeated the British Army during the Revolutionary War. Those British soldiers and military leaders, they were truly the enemy within. Spies within our borders during the Cold War, which went from 47 to 89, they posed a direct threat to the security of the United States. They were collecting and exchanging top secret information with Russia at a time when a push of the button would presumably destroy America. Those spies guilty of espionage were truly the enemy from within. Today, domestic terrorists that want to do physical harm and disrupt America, they are the enemy from within. Donald Trump's use of this phrase to describe people who disagree with his opinions and policies is insane. It is an insane stretch that should be denounced by every true patriotic American. To prove that he's not just talking about spies and militias and militants and domestic terrorists, Donald Trump has specifically mentioned Nancy Pelosi, her husband Paul, Congressman Adam Schiff, as individuals that he would consider the enemy from within if he's elected president. The possible use of the U.S. military to deal with violence on Election Day, that could be considered if violence gets out of hand. I don't expect that to happen. But Donald Trump would not be president on Election Day, so he would have nothing to do with deploying the U.S. military troops. The U.S. troops control the border. If the U.S. troops are used to control the border, that's not beyond consideration. But their role is going to be very specific and would not entail Trump's one-time idea of just shooting the immigrants as they cross the border. I mean, the U.S. military is trained to execute specific plans, and our troops are not trained to deal with domestic lawbreakers, and calling out the military may sound like a good rallying cry for MAGAites in America, but it's not as realistic as Trump makes it seem. No one can remember a time when a presidential candidate in America suggested using the military to deal with individuals who disagree with the president or a candidate. Some may argue that the policies of liberal Democrats are a threat to America, but a perceived threat from differing policies should not qualify as a threat from the enemy from within. Posts on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page often suggest that I am the enemy, that I am spreading hate, and that I am even doing things that are to blame for the assassination attempts on Donald Trump. Some want to spread this idea that I'm spreading hate. I've never spread hate about Donald Trump, so those claims are absurd. But they reflect the mindset of many Trump followers who believe that anything negative about their candidate is hate speech that can lead to violent actions. No one has ever seen an election cycle like this one, and I hope we never see one again. This should be seen as an opportunity to just totally reject the idea that the military is used against Americans voicing different opinions from Donald Trump. This is one of the most anti-American, unconstitutional things I've ever heard from a presidential candidate. And I've been following presidential candidates in elections for a long time. No American expressing opposing views should ever be considered the enemy from within. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, let's go to Baton Rouge. And Charles, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Charles.
Hey, Mr. Scoot and Mr. Ian. So nice to talk with you guys again on such a beautiful day here in Baton Rouge. I don't know what it's like in New Orleans, but it's 70 degrees here. I'm in my backyard looking at a sky blue sky.
It's beautiful.
With green trees that are fixing to start dying, I hope, in the next week or so, and turning leaves and whatever, and have winter come, pulling for the Tigers to win against Arkansas, and That's my good side.
Yeah, those are the positive things to think about.
Now, to talk about some things that weren't, I told Ian a couple things. One was the Saints. And all I got to say about that is I've been following the Saints since their birth when I was in the Air Force in Shreveport Station, Shreveport at Barksdale Air Force Base for their first season. And Shreveport decided they'd carry the Cowboys games, America's team, instead of the Saints. So,
you know, that whole part of the state, I mean, they might as well be annexed to Texas. Because Shreveport has a lot more in common with Dallas and with Texas than they do with New Orleans in the southern part of the state.
Or even Alexandria.
Yeah, they even talk like Texans.
Yeah, anyway, that was a long, long time ago. Anyway, and I have learned over the years watching professional football, not just the Saints, okay? So it's not just the Saints. But professional football, there's just so much money in it, and has become more and more money since the time I watched it, and players were making $58,000 a year. And that was good money back then, in the 60s.
You know, I remember when Joe Namath got this huge contract. I mean, it was talked about all over the country, the huge contract that Joe Namath got, and it was for $100,000 a year.
$100,000 a year. I was going to guess 300, but anyway. So now there's just so much money in it that I'm afraid it's kind of like early stages, perhaps, of turning into the WWE. There's just too much money in it. You get paid whether you win or lose, and the owners have ways of, they have their, you know, it's been a long time that anybody's I've heard talk about this, but the owners have, apparently have a meeting every year, 2 weeks, nobody's allowed but the owners. Well, I don't know what they talk about, but possibly they talk about which 8 teams they want to finish up in the runoffs, you know, this coming season.
I hope not.
But then you just got to watch the referees and the games and how they twist around to get a call. And I mean, now with the announcers, the last few that have integrity say, this is what I saw. And then all of a sudden New York says, that's not what you saw. This is what we saw, and don't trust your lying eyes. I'm sorry, it just happens too many times, but let's not stay on that. It's just the whole football deal, not just the Saints. So
Charles,
I hope they win tonight. I have feelings about Peyton. He, you know, go for the money. That's what somebody told me once when changing jobs. You can have a decision whether you want to go because it's what you want to do or go for the money. He went for the money. I always went for what I wanted to do, which is, you know, another long story. Anyway, nuclear war. That was the other thing I told Ian I wanted to bring up.
And I've got to get your break here.
I seriously don't think that a nuclear war will come from the Gaza thing, but it's very likely to come from Putin. The whole Gaza thing, everybody understands that Israel is fighting for their survival and will kill everybody that's trying to kill them. They're one of the few countries in the world that has the resolution and the gonads to do that. Putin has the same gonads. He has the nuclear weapons, and he has no hesitation to use it. He is more evil than Donald Trump, and Donald thinks he's wonderful. So I hope you have a nice day.
All right,
beautiful
Charles.
Here. Carry on. Love
you
guys. Have a good one.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2005, Fats Domino returned to his home in the Ninth Ward for the first time since Hurricane Katrina. He found it totally destroyed, with his piano and several of his gold records among the ruined items. It was a shocking moment for Fats Domino. And many of you can relate to that because you remember returning to your homes after Katrina or maybe after another hurricane. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, next hour, I want to talk about where the Saints are right now at 2-4 and why you should not lose hope, because there are a lot of other teams with really great quarterbacks that are not doing so well this year at this point, and they still have hopes of getting to the playoffs. Let's not worry about the Super Bowl. Let's just talk about getting to the playoffs. It's still possible, and we should be optimistic because the Saints can turn it around. Let's see if they do it. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Our congratulations to Rakesha Malden of Slidell. She was the winner of tickets to go see the game tonight, Sean Payton's Denver Broncos against the Saints in the Caesars Superdome. She also got two passes to the VIP tailgate party from Bullseye Event Group. This goes on before every game. And if you don't win tickets to it, you really should look into it. Just Google Bullseye Event Group and go to the website and find out about it. This VIP tailgate party is a blast. You know, I've been to that many times, and it's fun. The food, fun, great food to eat. I mean, good food to eat. And premium liquor. So you can get a nice little buzz and get nice and full and then just walk over to the dome. It overlooked Champion Square and the Caesars Superdome. So, you know, look into that. And all of this is from Dudley DeBosier. Oh, by the way, also, Rakesha won tickets to the Saints-Falcons game coming up. And that's from Dudley DeBosier, the official injury lawyers of the Saints and WWL. Okay, let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
We'll start up talking about the Saints. Here's a text that says, "The season is over, gents. I think last week was the nail in the coffin. We got way too many significant injuries."
We have a lot of injuries, and you can't get around that. But these players are all in the NFL, and inspiration can make up for a lack of talent. Or if somebody is not as talented as some of the players who are injured, sometimes being inspired and being motivated can make up for that. So, you know, let's see if the Saints present themselves as a cohesive unit tonight. Let's see if they come out fired up. And let's see if the Saints tackle. That was the big thing last week. They didn't tackle.
You know, I'm choosing to think of this like it's a Hollywood movie or something. You know, it's like you're the underdogs. Nobody believes you can do it. You pull it together. There's a montage where everybody gets their it together, and then the next thing you know, you win. Or you get second place and you learn a valuable lesson about friendship.
Yep.
Can't we just do that?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, and I can't wait to share with you where some of these other teams are. Big-name teams with big-name quarterbacks who are not doing that well either.
Yeah, here's a text that echoes something I said yesterday. The biggest problem is the loss of the starting center.
Yeah, that's got to be a key thing.
Key thing.
But you've got, you know, you've got a rookie quarterback right now, and so he's not used to either center. So, I don't know. You know, that is a key. I mean, the center is certainly a key player. He's not called the center for nothing. He's kind of the center of the offensive line, and that's an important loss. And then with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed out, Taysom Hill. Is Taysom Hill playing? Yesterday, I think he was listed as doubtful.
I don't know.
All right, we'll have to. If anybody knows, we can confirm that.
I don't know.
Yesterday, I think he was possible. Maybe he's still doubtful, but he still possibly could play. But, you know, if these players are injured, they really shouldn't play.
Here's a text from Soothsayer Sam. He says, since the 2020 season, the Saints have been the second most injured football team in the NFL. I suppose somebody had to be there. The Tennessee Titans were number one.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something about training. There are things players can do to avoid injury. There are ways to get hit. There are ways to hit that avoid injury. I don't know. It might just be a haphazard thing. So I don't know. But the Saints have been decimated by injuries. No doubt about that. But I'm not going to lose my enthusiasm yet. All right. If you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. You know, I like Billy Joel. I respect him. But I don't have Billy Joel music that I listen to on a regular basis. I mean, I'm not the hugest Billy Joel fan. He did a couple of songs that I thought were really, really good. And on this day in 1989, which is, you know, later in his career, Billy Joel released the album Stormfront. And on that album is the best Billy Joel song that he did, We Didn't Start the Fire. And it's about a generation that can't be responsible for things that are going on now because they didn't start the fire. I mean, that's the way a lot of Xers and millennials feel about the baby boomer generation and things going on today. They're going like, hey, wait a minute, you know, we didn't start this fire. I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, this is the day in 2008 that Levi Stubbs, lead singer of the Four Tops, passed away at the age of 72. And song reminds me of the girl that I had a crush on at the time this song came out. And I know when you hear some songs from the past, it reminds you of the same kind of things. On the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, the last blog that I wrote, it's just been posted. Are Democrats the enemy within, as Trump says? Already 106 comments. And the last post right before that was about, why do people believe the unbelievable? Why do people believe these ridiculous lies? That's already got 372 comments. All right, go to Scoot on the Air Facebook. I hope you'll join us and comment on the comments. And we'll be right back with more on WWL. All right, come on now, Saints tonight. Look, it's easy to be down on the Saints. They started off 2-0. They've lost four in a row. Last week was an embarrassing loss. I'm sure you can think of times in your life when you made a comeback, a big comeback. You know, maybe you lost a sale, or something with your work didn't work out the way you wanted it to, and you came back. You made a comeback. Why can't the Saints make a comeback? I'm Scoot on the Air. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okanar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's talk about the Saints. We have an abbreviated show today because coming up at 3 o'clock, it's First Take with Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak. And then at 5 o'clock, it's the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with Bobby Hebert inside the Dome, Loge Level, Gate B, Atrium. Just go up there. That's presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Then Game Time with Deuce and Haas at 7:15. Turn down your TV and turn up the home team for sound. And then after the game, sound off with the Chirac Point After with the Cajun Cannon. Saints Broncos, 10 hours of wall-to-wall football coverage beginning at 3 o'clock this afternoon on WWL AMFM and WWL.com and live on the free Odyssey app. I mean, I'm hoping the Saints turn things around. Saints are 2-4. The Broncos are 3-3. Sean Payton coming back to the Dome, a big deal is being made about that. Mickey Loomis was talking on WWL recently, and he talked about this, and he said that this is not a revenge game for Sean Payton. This is just a game that he obviously wants to win. But Mickey Loomis said, it's not a revenge game. Sometimes you play against a team that you were with and you have bitter, angry feelings about that team. You want to beat them because of that. That's not this game with Sean. Sean loved his time here with the Saints. He has loved the city and the organization. But it's like playing against your brother. You know, you want to beat him and we feel the same way. It'll be a dogfight. He'll pull out all the stops. And we have to be prepared for that. I like that idea, but honestly, we're all human beings. And when you go up against somebody that you used to work for, now, the Saints didn't fire Sean Payton. So it's not like he has this revenge factor. He has to get back at the Saints. I agree with Mickey Loomis on that. But I can't help but think there's a little added incentive for Sean Payton to win. Also because the Broncos have been a little disappointing of recent. They're 3-3. So they're not setting the world on fire. And Sean Payton did not go into Denver and turn the team around right away. That rarely happens, to Sean Payton's credit. That you know, rarely happens. But, you know, honestly, I see this as a game with a lot of emotion. And I think Sean Payton wants to prove that, you know, that he made the right decision in leaving the Saints and going to the Broncos. I personally didn't like the way it all transpired because it, you know, kind of seemed like he used the Saints since he quit as coach and was kind of burnt out. And then he got his rest. And, you know, if he really wanted to, you know, coach again, why didn't he come back to the Saints? He could have come back to the Saints, but, you know, he went for the big bucks and the bigger city. And you can't blame him for that because that's just a factor in life. But, you know, I'd like to think that when you make a certain amount of money, when you get to a certain point, that principle and integrity are more important than just money. And I'm sure Sean Payton realized something that is pretty much a fact in life. It's easier to become number one than it is to stay number one. And I think Sean Payton reached a plateau with the Saints. They weren't going anywhere. And he wasn't able to do much in the situation with the Saints. So he quit. And I know he did a lot for us. I know he loved the city. But this is about business. And like Mickey Loomis says, Sean Payton's going to pull out all the stops. So, I mean, look, if the Saints fall victim, I mean, can they even do onside kicks now with the kicking situation the way it is? I mean, can you even do an onside? I'm thinking about this. But, I mean, you know, Sean Payton is going to do, you know, he might do something like he did in the Super Bowl, like an onside kick to start off the second half. Nobody was expecting that. And, look, it's interesting because Sean Payton is the offensive guy. Dennis Allen is the defensive guy. And so it should be an interesting matchup. I hope Dennis Allen has got this team ready to play because they seem to get complacent after a big second quarter in the last game against the Bucs. And they did not show up for the second half. And a lot of missed tackles. Now, let's face reality. The Saints have a lot of injuries. The offensive line, Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, Taysom Hill. Is Taysom Hill, do we find out yet, Ian, if Taysom Hill is going to play tonight? Or is that going to be a game time decision? All right, we're going to check that out right now. Because last night I think he was doubtful. So, yeah, we're missing a lot of players. That's a fact. That's reality. And that's really, really tough. But there's still no reason the Saints can't turn things around because all these guys are professional football players. They're all in the NFL. And so even though a player might have to step up because they didn't have the starting position because maybe somebody was better than them, well, they've got a chance to prove tonight that they're better. I mean, some people, I guess, might even be able to put themselves in a position of winning a starting position. They weren't the starter. They've got a chance to play tonight. Man, I would be busting my ass to prove to the team, you made a mistake by not starting me. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. All right, I'm getting the word now that Taysom Hill is doubtful for tonight. And as I mentioned earlier, why not find some plays where Spencer Rattler is the runner? You know, treat him like Taysom Hill because he's a running quarterback. And teams that have running quarterbacks, they call plays where the quarterback is running. I don't remember seeing that in the last game. And it would be nice to see that in this game tonight. All right, let's go to New Orleans and... I'm sorry, let's go to Charlie. Charlie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot? It's been a while since I talked to you. I have a couple of things I want to comment okay. on, but I'll start with the Saints. First of all, Spencer Rattler, you may not want him to be the running quarterback because he, you know, you're down to maybe two quarterbacks and you don't want to put him at risk of an injury. Two, I'm a high school football official. I've been doing this a long time. You can actually do onside kicks in the NFL, even today. But there's so many things. It's very hard to recover an onside kick because you can't just leave and go on and immediately once he kicks it to go out. You got to wait. So there's things, and that's designed to prevent injuries. You know. Thirdly. You got to look at the schedule going forward. What are the matchups? And you can turn around because there's some games that are not as difficult as opponents. So that being said, and then also Sean Payton couldn't come back to the New Orleans Saints because Dennis Allen was a coach at the time. So when he was ready to do that, I mean, you're not going to eat. And that was just after 1 year they went 7-10. It would have been very unfair to fire him after the first year. So
Let me ask you this about the onside kicks. With the format of the kickoffs now in the NFL, is it possible to do an onside kick?
You can still do it. Yeah. Yeah, you can do it. I mean, okay. It's just that you have to wait. See, they can't leave until the – it's the way they're doing it to get to injuries and stuff, you know, because a lot of people get injured. And I've seen a lot of people – in games I've done, a lot of injuries happen during kickoffs and stuff like that. So in their rules – safety rules and put in for a good reason. So that being said, I do, you know, I'm getting a little political. I do want to comment yesterday on the interview Kamala Harris did with Brett Baer, And I just watched an opening from 2023 where Bret Baier warms up and is all genial with Trump, and then he comes in with Harris yesterday. He basically said, yeah, he didn't say "you bitch" or whatever, pardon the expression, but he just immediately came in and attacked. And I see so much hypocrisy that that lies that are being told, whether it's the Haitian immigrants or the stuff on FEMA and all that, and this has gotten on, and people used to lecture us in the 1990s about how character matters and how it's all changes. So I don't respect any of those people who used to preach that now and then. Well, it's totally different now. All they are is giant hypocrites on that. And at the end of all this, at the end of this election, then Trump may win, but by the time he leaves, he's going to leave them as a Category 5 disaster by the time he ends that. And that's what, and it's not going to be good for the country because one party will be so wiped out because of some person, a really despicable human being. So anyway, I'm glad to be back on the air with you. I'll always love listening to you. I keep doing what you're doing because you're basically in enemy territory here.
Well, I know that, and I'm not afraid. Charles, I really do appreciate the call and the comments. You know, Bret Baier was in a tough situation. I mean, here's a Fox News host. He's going to be criticized no matter what he does. You know, he's going to be criticized if he's not really rough on Kamala Harris. He's going to be criticized if he's too rough on Kamala Harris. So I respect the position that he was in. I didn't see much of the interview, but I've read a lot about what was said, and it seemed like he did become maybe he went a little overboard with becoming an attack dog, but he wasn't that way with Donald Trump. And I mean, this just points out what I've said all along. I'm not just making this up. Fox News is a pro-Trump cable network. The problem is a lot of people just watch Fox News. They just listen to conservative radio shows. They just tune in to conservative social media, podcasts and everything. Therefore, they don't hear everything. And so when they hear some things on this show, they think, oh, my God, Scoot's got to be making that up. I've never heard that before. No, we're not making it up. We're just telling you some things that if you live in that bubble, you're not hearing certain things. I mean, J.D. Vance just yesterday said, by the words I would use, Donald Trump did not lose the 2020 election. What does that mean? By the words that I would use. Can't anybody answer a question anymore? J.D. Vance cannot directly answer the question, did Donald Trump win or lose the election? Ted Cruz can't answer the question about how he feels about abortion and should there be exceptions for rape and incest. He can't answer that question. He refused to answer it during a debate. And his race in Texas against Colin Elwood is getting a lot closer. But, I mean, can't people answer questions? Donald Trump is asked a question, and he goes off into a completely different rant. It's not even related to the question. Can't people answer questions anymore? And if they don't answer the question, it's obviously because they don't want to. But, hey, I really want to focus on the Saints this hour. Mary from Metairie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I would appreciate if everybody tonight, whether you're at home or you're at the game, when Sean Payton comes through, you clap and congratulate that guy and his team. This is not about this is not about the game. This is Drew Brees making what's he making, the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay.
The Saints Hall of Fame.
And
yeah.
And the Saints Hall of Fame. Thank you. And Sean Payton's going to be there and his old buddies and stuff. Think about what they did for our city right after Katrina from 2006 and in 2009, we're in the Super Bowl. We needed that. Emotionally, those Saints, I think, kept us from going down crazy, you know? And nobody should boo Sean Payton. He did his job while he was here.
Mary, it's a great thought. That's a great thought. And I know a lot of people agree with you, and I appreciate you mentioning that on the show.
And I would just like everybody, when I listen, tune in tonight, you know, if anything, stand up and give him an applause. It's not because of Denver. When he walks out, what he did for our city and even continue on, look, we just got injuries. That's all it is. I'm not worried about whether they win or lose. Let's appreciate who we had before and what they did, you know?
Mary, I totally understand. And, you know, what Mary's talking about is the Saints reflected the city. The Saints were motivated because of what the city had gone through. It just goes to show you how far motivation can go. And I believe that this Saints team tonight could be motivated to beat the Broncos tonight. The Broncos are 3-3. If the Saints beat the Broncos tonight, the Saints and the Broncos have the same record, 3-4. And so when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other teams, big-name teams expected to get to the playoffs with big-name quarterbacks who are not doing so well right now. So it's not time to give up on the Saints. If you've got a comment, you want to join us this afternoon, beautiful Thursday afternoon. The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. We're coming back on WWL. All right, going to the Dome tonight. Make noise. Make noise. Make noise when they're in the huddle. Sometimes I hear the fans in the Dome. They don't start making noise until the team gets close to the line of scrimmage to call the play. I mean, I know that makes it harder for them to call the play. That's important. But we're also supposed to make a lot of noise when the team is in the huddle, because then it's harder for them to even call the play. I'm Scoot on the air, getting ready for Thursday Night Football tonight. The Saints and the Broncos with Sean Payton in the Caesars Superdome tonight. All right, the Saints are 2-4. They've lost four in a row. Not good. But any team can turn things around. The Falcons and the Bucks lead the division 4-2. The Panthers are 1-5. But let me share with you some of the records of some other teams, big-name teams expected to get to the playoffs with big-time quarterbacks. All right, the Broncos are 3-3. That's not that great. And if the Saints beat the Broncos, both teams have the same record, 3-4. The Dolphins, I know they lost their starting quarterback, but they're still a good team. They're 2-3. The Jets, maybe you heard of Aaron Rodgers. The Jets are 2-4. You think they're giving up? You think Rodgers has given up? You think he still expects to get to the playoffs? I think he does. The Bengals, Joe Burrow, love the new hair. The Bengals are 2-4. The Browns, they've got a big-time quarterback. They're 1-5. The Titans, 1-4. The Jags, another team with a big-time quarterback. The Jags are 1-5. The Chargers are 3-2. They've got a hell of a quarterback. The Raiders are 2-4. The Cowboys are 3-3. And the Rams are 1-4. So I would think that some of these other teams are not giving up. And those are big-time teams, many of them with big-time quarterbacks. And they're not giving up. So, you know, let's don't give up on the Saints. They're 2-4. I'm going into that Dome tonight. And I'll be honest, I'm not one of the fans that makes the most noise. You know, I don't scream a lot. I do have to protect my voice to some degree. But man, if you're a screamer, if you're somebody that makes noise, make noise tonight. I mentioned the other day that, you know, on the big screen in the Dome, when like defensive players are up there, and when the other team is on offense and the defensive players, there's video of defensive players saying, I need you. They'll say, I need you to make noise. And I wanted to shout back, I need you to make tackles. But look, I hope things turn around for the Saints. And it can happen because, again, emotion, motivation is such a big factor. The Saints were so motivated after Katrina. That helped them, in my opinion, win the Super Bowl, because that was the only one they won. So if a team finds a reason to be motivated, even if it's just from within themselves, they can do it. So let's see what happens tonight. This is a big test for the Saints, and they've got a lot going against them. And if the Saints lose, you know, honestly, it's not going to be all their fault because of the injuries. If you've got a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504 504- 260-1870. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Some really great, smart text messages coming in here. Here's one that says, Saints fans need to show class tonight by cheering for Sean and applaud his entrance, as we are New Orleans, which is like no other place. Remind him what he has left behind. This type of welcome would never come from any other fan base, especially Denver. So come on, Who Dat Nation. Let's show Coach Payton our appreciation for what he has given us, but only for his entrance. Fair game afterwards. Who Dat? WWL, you have the power to convince and remind fans what to do tonight, and it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand that. I mean, I personally I have ambivalent feelings about the way Sean Payton left, but I don't blame him for wanting to go to a bigger city. I'm not going to cheer or boo because I don't know. Again, I'm not the noisemaker in the stands. I admit that. But for those of you who are the noisemakers, I mean, follow your heart, follow what you feel. And it's going to be interesting because every team that enters the field with their coaches is booed. Every opposing team is booed. Will the boos be louder, or will the boos be mixed with applause? It's going to be interesting to see that tonight. And if you don't, I'm not sure you're going to. I'm sure you'll hear that on WWL radio. I'm not sure you're going to sense that on TV. But we'll be here to talk about it tomorrow.
Here's a text that says, Sean Payton was a good coach. Drew Brees was a good player. Would either be great without each other? I have to think about how fate played into it. Bill Belichick drafted Tom Brady in the 7th round. Did he know he would be as good as he was?
No, and I agree that everything came together for that Saints team. And again, when you think about the intangible of motivation, you know, that doesn't go against the salary cap. Any team can be motivated. And motivation, you know, look at history. And again, I'm going to bring up the miracle on ice, the U.S. Olympic hockey team, Lake Placid, New York, the Olympics of 1980. Our hockey team, college players, amateurs, beat the friggin' Russians. It would be like a college team going against the best team of the NFL. And man, those Ruskies are mean. They're ugly too, and we beat them. And I think that was the result of motivation, just being inspired to play beyond the level that you're just, you know, used to playing at. You can go through the motions, or you can really play. And the Saints in the second half of the game last week, they were just going through the motions.
I'll give you just three texts of a political nature here, and then I think we'll probably be done with these for the day, right? Let's do some football. Here's one that says, why does 79% of the country think that we are headed in the wrong direction? Because the Biden-Harris administration has been in control for 4 years, and Harris wants to turn the page from the past 4 years of incompetence.
You know, I understand that, but I also could argue that if Donald Trump was so great, as he's saying and as people are saying, if he's so great, how did he lose? And regardless of what J.D. Vance says or what anybody says, Donald Trump lost the election. He even admitted it, but then went back to, you know, saying he didn't win. I mean, he didn't lose the election, but we know he lost. So if he was so great, how did he lose? Well, he lost because at the end of his term, he wasn't that popular.
And I think to the texter's point about 79% of the country thinking we're headed in the wrong direction, that's pretty splashy. But it doesn't say that 79% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction because of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration. I think Republicans think that the country's heading in the wrong direction because Fox News has been screaming that at them every day for 30 years. And Democrats think that because they see that the Republican Party has been taken over and hollowed out by a maniac. So none of that has anything to do with Biden-Harris. It's just the state of our toxic politics in general.
That's true.
Here's a text message that says, I think most people know what Trump says is BS, but they don't care because they're tired of the left's BS. So the pendulum is swinging back to the right. Defund the police. What's that done for places like San Francisco and Minneapolis? DEI hires. What happened to meritocracy? Everything that goes along with the self-entitlement movement. Adam Carolla said it best. In the future, there will only be two places, safe places and octagons, and I think a lot of people are tired of safe spaces.
Well, I could be wrong here, but I don't think anybody actually defunded the police. I mean, that was right-wing rhetoric from the beginning. And there were people who talked about, if we can take some money from the police and apply it to programs that would stop young people from becoming criminals, then that would be a good use of that money. But that was labeled in with defunding the police, but I don't know if any police department was actually defunded. So again, right-wing rhetoric.
I think Seattle probably got the closest, but you know, most people, again, there's gray area there that you have to understand. It's not like they just, you know, set the police budget to zero and fired everybody. They said, oh, we're going to try some different things with, you know, community outreach officers or do some of this other preventative stuff instead of just more cops on the street.
Yeah, and don't believe things that a few people say. I mean, there are people out there who think that there should be no police. Those people are maniacs. They're insane.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't have no police. So just because a couple of people say it doesn't mean that the majority of this country is behind it or the majority of Democrats are behind it.
This text, I think, is about Trump's remarks about the enemy within that we talked about yesterday and earlier today. Text says, it's not just Trump's remarks, but it's also the silence and or denial from almost all of the Republicans. That's even worse. Silence is violence waiting to happen.
If you want to join us, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. You know, I'm telling you, people are so passionate about politics that even when we're dedicated to talking about the Saints, the afternoon before a big Thursday night game in the Dome against Sean Payton, where Drew Brees is going to be inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame, you know, people still want to talk about politics. We'll get to a little bit of that tomorrow on Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be right back on WWL. This is the band One Direction, that early popular boy band. Harry Styles was a member of that band. Former One Direction singer Liam Payne is dead. He was 31 years old, found dead after falling from a hotel balcony in Buenos Aires, Argentina. He apparently jumped from the balcony of his room. The hotel manager called 911. There was a guest that seemed to be overwhelmed with drugs and alcohol, and he was destroying the room, and he said, we got to get somebody here right away. And before that could happen, he apparently jumped from the balcony. So apparently drugs and alcohol may have been involved. I don't know if they've continued or concluded with the autopsy yet, but I'm sure we'll find out more about that. But, you know, really sad news. This guy just moved into a $9,500 a month mansion. Can you imagine your rent or your mortgage being $9,500 a month? I don't know. Some of you listening may have that kind of situation. You know, it's, I guess, you know, some people just can't handle unlimited amounts of money. I mean, I've never been in that situation, but I'd like a shot at trying to handle it. But sad news. Liam Payne, one of the former members of One Direction, dead at the age of 31. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Also, you know, there's just interesting news about the Menendez brothers, and maybe we'll talk about this on the show tomorrow, but family members are trying to get them released from prison. The two brothers are in prison, and they killed their parents, but they killed their parents claiming that they were abused over the years, and they say it was justified, and some family members are pushing for their release. So it's an interesting story that has been developing. This is really amazing. Somebody was paragliding over the Great Pyramid of Giza, I guess it is. And he couldn't believe what he saw. He saw a dog on top of the giant pyramid. There was a dog up there at the top. Now, did the dog climb all the way to the top of the Great Pyramid? I mean, that's what people are speculating on right now. Just amazing. They haven't learned much about it. We don't know everything about it right now, but there's a picture of a dog on top of this giant pyramid. And again, how did it get there? And what led the dog to climb to the top? I mean, did the dog say, why'd you do it? Did the dog say, because it was there? I mean, that's why people say they climbed Mount Everest, because it was there. Also, look, this is really good news. We're getting an early prediction on the 2025 crawfish season. It's expected to be better than the last 2 years, which were not that great. Last year was supposed to be a disaster. It wasn't that bad. I had more crawfish last year than I remember having in recent years. And I thought they were big and plentiful, and the price wasn't that bad. So I enjoyed crawfish last year, even though there was a prediction that it was going to be such a horrible year because of the drought and other weather conditions. But at this point, based on the development of things right now, the 2025 crawfish season expected to be better than last year and the year before. All right, let's go to Ian. Do you have some text messages?
Sorry, no. I'm looking at the picture of the dog on top of the pier. I didn't know about that story. I was like, ooh, I better Google that up real quick. That is hilarious. You can see him right up there. He's a good boy. Who's a good boy? Boy on top of the pyramid. Yes, you are.
Some of those stones are huge.
Oh, no, they are enormous.
So how did the dog climb up? I mean, did the dog maybe go up to the pyramid to, you know, lift a leg and then decide, well, what the hell, I'm
just jump up here. Now, look, I haven't been to the pyramids of Giza, but I think I understand, like, the individual blocks are much taller than one human. So it's not like the dog can just jump from one layer to the next, right?
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, how did he get up there?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out more about this, but just a live dog on the top of the Great Pyramid is pretty strange.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't think it's possible it was... You don't think it was aliens?
Well, it could have been.
Because the aliens helped build the pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me how the Egyptians back then, how they moved those blocks like that. You tell me how they built those pyramids.
Bro, the aliens had ships with giant claws, and they would pick up these stones with their big ass claws, and they built a pyramid like that. So maybe that's, they put the dog up there.
You know, there's a whole series, Ancient Aliens, and it's really pretty fascinating to think about aliens visiting the planet, you know, centuries ago, and you look at some of the strange phenomenon in the world, and you know, really, aliens are the best explanation.
I'll just leave you with this one. This text says, how do we know it's not an AI generated photo of a dog on top of the Great Pyramid? It's a good question, because it's video. The guy flew over. You can see his little feet sticking out in front of him while he's paragliding around out there. And then he's, you know, you zoom in and you can see there's a good boy running around on top of the pyramid. All right, I know I said that was the last one.
How does he get down?
The dog?
Yeah,
it's the same way he got up,
I guess.
The aliens come by with the big ass claw, and they give him a milk bone and say,
"Come on,
here, boy, come on. We're going downstairs. You're screwing this up for everybody." I'll leave you with this text from Kenneth in Raceland is listening today. He's got a hopeful message for the Houdat Nation. He says, "You got 11 games left, and anything can happen."
Well, that's right. I mean, the Saints have only lost 4 games, and I tell you, there's some divisions where, you know, the Saints would have less of a chance than in the division they're in, because the leader, the two leading teams are at 4-2. So I'm not giving up on the Saints. I'm going to be excited to see them in the Dome tonight, and I hope you are too. All right, I'm Scoot, and we'll come back with more of your, I guess we're going to come back to wrap up the show. God, this was just such a quick show. These abbreviated shows are just so fast. Let's see. What do I have here? On this day, I forget the year. I don't have, well, here it is. Wait a minute. No, that's not it. All right, here it is. On this day in 1977, Lynyrd Skynyrd released the album Street Survivors. It had this song on it. It was the last album with frontman Ronnie Van Zant and guitarist Steve Gaines, because both were killed 3 days earlier when the plane crashed on its way to Baton Rouge. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, sports coverage of the Saints game tonight starts coming up next with First Take. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and as always, I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot on the air. Go Saints. Love you, New Orleans.